Food.
Fess Up with Liz and Nikki, a Go Loud original podcast.
Sponsored by Fifth Avenue Clinic. Here to help you feel your absolute best. With over 17 years of beauty innovation excellence. See fifthavenue.ie for more.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Fess Up with me, Nikki Dwyer.
And me, Liz Dwyer.
And this episode is with thanks to our sponsors, the Fifth Avenue Clinic, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. For more, see fifthavenue.ie. Today's guest is a bit of a wild card and a wild woman, actually. We have none other than Davina Devine coming up. Davina is Ireland's, I mean, most people would know her as a very vivacious drag queen. She's a cabaret host. She's been a model. She's been a brand ambassador. I mean, she's worked for all sorts of brands, from Mac to Mattel to, like, you know, The George. She's a headliner in The George every week on Thursday nights. She's always popping up at festivals all around the country. And she was the sport
campaigner for LGBT rights.
Yes, obviously, yes. And one of the big, you know, advocates of Pride and so forth. So she's a huge presence, I would say, in Dublin.
Literally a huge presence. She's about 6'5".
Yeah. Liz, what are you doing over there now? Can we get a bit of attention, all of you? Down the phone.
Sorry.
We're about to record a podcast. Sorry. I'm reading Alice Hart David's. She said she did Courtney Cox's, regime to keep her looking young. Actually, I'm getting annoyed at this whole Courtney Cox conversation.
I'm over it.
Everyone's like, oh my God, she's 60.
I know, but come on, right?
Yeah.
She looks fucking amazing.
She does. Actually, I think I'm more traumatized. I think, I'm sure it's not just me, I think the fact that she's 60 is traumatic to most people, because she's always going to be Monica in Friends, and she is that, you know, bubbly.
Oh, too, because you're, makes you old.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what the problem is. And that
public service announcement, Liz Dwyer is old.
Yeah. So I think that's why it's such a shock. I mean, obviously, yes, I agree, she looks incredible, but the fact that she is, she's Monica. She's 30. She's not supposed to be a 60-year-old woman. That's disconcerting to me.
Monica, really.
Not,
and actually,
dramatically.
You know what I thought was interesting?
Yeah.
I mean, we saw Monica when she went mad in the filler.
And she did. And she's totally fessed up about that. She's like, she regrets it. She did the Botox. She did the filler. She did say, she's like, because I was doing it, you know, piecemeal, you know, that she didn't actually notice the change was so dramatic. And she was like many people, her perception of herself, you know, gets thwarted, you know. And
all of a sudden you see yourself and you're like, jeez.
Yeah.
Mad.
It's only like after there's the build up, you know. And also she was,
you must know how that feels.
And also it was the build up. You're such an absolute bitch. It was the build up of, like, she was one of the first generation where they used cheek filler. Right. So, previously filler was just for lips, and then they obviously brought it into the cheeks. So she was kind of one of the early kind of pillow face victims, unfortunately. And she's such a slim face as well, and a very elegant face.
She's very elfin like features. Little mini nose and everything.
Yeah, she's very petite.
She did go mad. But then she got rid of all the filler or netted, you know, whatever shit. But I suspect.
Yes.
She's had a face.
Absolutely. Like, I know everyone's going to be like, no, she's totally natural and she's just doing her gym.
It's
and she's
all natural. She's no more natural than you and me now.
Yeah, I know. And like, I was thinking, right, if you are 60, which she is, and you're that slim as well, she's super slim. And like, that's all seeing her on camera slim. Like, in real life, she's probably half
the
size of
that. I did notice when in her gym workout exercise that the skin on her bodies and her neck and her arms and her legs everywhere is taut. And
as opposed to,
do you know the way when somebody has a facelift and the rest of them, you get the saggy skin everywhere else?
Yeah, okay.
So that was the only thing where I was like, maybe she hasn't, and maybe she's just like genuinely the genetic jackpot. But like, because you know the way sometimes they have the facelift and then you see the
telltales everywhere
else? The telltales on the chest, or the, I always think the arms is the, you know, when they have the creppy older skin on the arms.
Yes.
Or the legs or the
toes. Or maybe she's just had it all done, you know?
I know, because you can tell with the arms, because if you have the arm lift, you have like a really aggressive scar elbow to.
Yeah, she might have had a lift. She might have had a little, like, you know, she could have been living on, like, you know, radio frequency microneedling all over the place.
Are we like just trying
to. In disbelief that she could look that good.
Yeah.
Impossibly. Yeah.
And like, to be fair to her, right?
Yeah.
And I do think this, like, the key to smart aging.
Yes.
Is genuinely like bone health. Inner health, like, I mean, gut health, all the rest. Like, so if you can nail that part,
yes,
then the rest, I suppose, is just icing. So like, she is smashing weights. Did you see the weights she was lifting?
Yeah, I have to say, since seeing that, I was like, Liz, get your ass to a gym and not to do cardio, to do strength training.
Yeah.
Like, I've been saying it in my head for the last little while anyway.
I always love the fabulous pharmacist. She said, lift weights, not because you want to look hot, but lift weights.
You want to stay out of it.
No, you don't want someone else to be wiping your ass in 10 years' time or 20 years' time. But no, like, it is, especially in the old period. Do you know, like, now at the old menopause age, that your muscle mass starts to, like, fall off a cliff. So what you do in your 40s.
Yes.
40s and early 50s dictates the later third of your life.
I know.
And there's no, like, I mean, trying to rescue it when you're, you know, wrecked.
Well, it's never too late. But at the same time, you know, the obviously prevention is always better.
It's easier to build muscle now than it is at 50.
But back to Courtney.
Sorry. Right? She looks amazing.
She looks amazing. The cryo thing was a joke. Obviously, she's not sitting in her freezer. But like, there is all the longevity experts and biohackers are mad for cryotherapy. They've always said it's an amazing way to, you know, get your endorphins going, so forth. But can I just say, this is not a new thing. I remember studying classical studies in school and the Romans were mad for frigariums. So they used to throw themselves into what was effectively in the restaurants and you go to the cold room.
Yeah.
Like, they had their version of that. So they would go into the heated room and then afterwards they go into the frigarium to keep themselves going.
Cryotherapy is amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we know it. But like, anything, stick a pack of ice on your swollen, you know, bruised knee or whatever.
That's cryotherapy. In its own version.
But it's cryo. It's, you know, cooling something so that the blood vessels contract.
Yes.
And it's anti-inflammatory.
Well, they say also because it releases endorphins and it helps with antioxidants and so forth. So look, cryo is good, but it's, again, I still think you could like be hopping into the ice chambers every day and it's not going to reverse your chronological age.
They say that it does actually reverse. And interestingly enough, which is a segue, but I mean, it's kind of related. There was a really interesting study in the UK done recently about cold water therapy and people who suffer from depression.
Okay.
And now we're talking clinical depression, not like a seasonal bout of depression because of whatever. And people are on long-term medication for depression. And if they had cold water submersion, I think it was there was a magic number. It was like 7 minutes or 9 minutes or something like that. But anyway, it was under 10 minutes that it had the same effect on their body as taking a low SSRI.
Oh, look, I think all those studies are a bit woo-woo, to be honest. But anyway, look, whatever works for you, you know, it's anecdotal. Like, a million, billion people who jump into cold ice baths and the sea and whatnot can't be wrong either. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm all for it. And well done, Courtney Cox. You look like a riot.
You do. Right, Ed, are we ready for our rate ball this week?
What is
in this rate ball? And actually, people have been sending us in suggestions to throw into the rate ball. So if you have anything you want us to talk about, throw it on an old DM or a voice memo and we will add it to the mix.
Rate ball.
Yes.
What have you got? Here we go. What in God's name is this? Injectable boob job.
Oh yeah. Okay.
What? Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This is new and old. So let's just.
I got a bit of hot water over this. So,
did you?
Yeah, some like plastic surgeon put up like the world's first injectable boob job on Instagram the other day. And I was like, bitchy lawyer Nikki was like, no, sorry, it's not the first world's injectable boob job. There was
one called Macrolide because I had it in my boobs when I was 30 and it was an absolute shit show and it was an unmitigated disaster and I ended up in, I've told the story before, I'm sure people are sick of hearing it.
Yes, but your boobs look like a bunch of grapes and you had to get them all pushed out,
yes. But that was basically filler shoved into your boobs and it was called the boob job and it was a non-invasive boob job. It was just for a little bit of
original
increase.
Lunchtime boob job. Basically, it's not dissimilar.
It was filler for your boobs, basically.
So what they're doing with butts at the moment.
Yeah.
So load of filler.
Slightly
into
different
your boobs,
substance now before we get into trouble. Yeah.
I know, but the gist of it. And then basically it was pulled off the market.
Pulled off the market.
20 years, 10 years.
Quick smart. When they realised it was a disaster.
Yeah, because basically your bodies were rejecting it.
Now the new one is not an injectable boob job. It is. First of all, Mia Femtech is the company behind it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you want to try?
It's not totally.
It's still
new.
And it's
been
not
around for a while, but it's new on these.
It's not available in Ireland. It's big in Dubai, of course, like everything.
Yeah.
It's,
you can get it in the UK, can't you?
Only just, as your man said, it was the first.
About 10 grand.
It's about 10 grand. Spain, France, a couple of the European countries. It's a newbie to the market, which always freaks me out, by the way.
It's not that new.
I know, but anything that's new on the aesthetics, cosmetic surgical market or whatever, even if it has all the FDA CE approvals and all that, I still think having been that guinea pig and being first in line to try everything new for so long, it backfires a lot of the time. You're better off letting someone else make a mistake and wait. But let's talk about what it is first.
Okay, so basically, when you get a breast implant, as we all know, they slice you open in various different types of incisions.
And slice you open sounds a bit dramatic now.
They do cut you open.
It could make a little incision under your breast.
Yeah, but sometimes it can be much bigger. It depends on the implant, depending on the breast, depending on...
Yeah, but it's not... They're not sliced open down like a freaking butcher, like, for Christ's sakes. Anyway.
There is a scalpel.
There is a scalpel involved.
And they cut a portion of your breast into your breast tissue and they put inside it a breast implant, either... Yes. Under the muscle or on top of the muscle, depending on your...
You ever actually seen one being done and they use these kind of metal kind of rods and they kind of...
They look like shoehorns.
They look like shoehorns and they open up the top part of the boob and they open up the bottom part of the boob and it just looks so barbaric and aggressive and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then they kind of really aggressively push in the implant as well and then they wiggle it around and everything. So that's a traditional one.
That's the medical definition of a traditional breast job.
Yeah.
Now, you've got a shoehorn and
wiggled
into you.
That's what 20 years of plastic surgery training will do for you.
Now, in order to get this traditional breast job, you do need a full
general anesthetic.
You're out and it takes anything from 1 hour to whatever, depending on
whatever
you need to get done. And it's expensive and
recovery is I don't think it's that much anymore.
No, I think it's probably like
a day
like
or two
weeks, is it?
Well, I think it's a day or two, like rest, and then depending on the person you're bouncing, you could be bouncing around. I know loads of people who've had them and then they're literally out for dinner the next night.
So I think like recovery has changed.
It has changed.
But the new injectable boob job.
Mia. Yeah.
So they basically, under your armpit, in the fold of your armpit, they have a teensy-weensy incision. So you've no general anaesthetic.
No, it's all done under...
numb you up and then gas you. They sedate you, basically. So mild sedation, numb you up, and then they have a teensy-weensy little incision. And then they basically use something that looks like...
A sex
toy. I would call it like a larger Calpol syringe.
Yes. Okay, good.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Like a long, big Calpol syringe.
Yeah.
And they stick it under your arm.
No, before they stick it under your arm, they suck up a small implant into the
inside the Calpol syringe is an implant, which is very technical. I'm glad you're all down with the technical jargon down here now. They basically suck it up onto this Calpol syringe, and then they stick the Calpol syringe into a tiny incision under your arm,
and then they basically push it into you. Yeah. So they, but it's only a small implant. Now you can't do big giant ones. It's only like a cup or two, and it's probably a bit more malleable and less jelly than the normal ones. And they say it's more biocompatible than the normal ones.
Biocompatible injectable boob job. It takes less than 15 minutes.
Yeah, but can we just talk about the biocompatibility buzzword? Basically, that just means it's still an implant. It's still like a ball of silicone or...
It's not silicone. It's definitely...
Hyaluronic acid or whatever is in the given implant. There's loads of different stuff within various implants.
I love it. Whatever stuff. Go on, back with this.
I'm tired.
Back with this medical jargon.
Anyway.
No technical jargon here. You won't get that here. No. None of that.
Calpol syringes and shoehorns.
Yeah.
It's as much as we know about surgery.
We should do a book on plastic surgery for dummies.
For dummies.
And give it to everybody getting on the plane to Turkey.
I'd get that legally proofed.
Yeah.
You could legally proof that.
We could, couldn't
back
we?
Back to half a page.
Oh my God. Couldn't you? You could give it out with the plane, the plane safety thing. And it's like, here's plastic surgery for dummies, Calpol syringe, lash it under your arm. Off you go. Bob's your uncle. Big tits, your name.
Okay.
We're
going to be cancelled. Okay, so the injectable boob job sounds great in theory. No downtime, very little downtime apparently, and no general anaesthetic. So obviously
not
easier
for people who need an actual, a boob overhaul or reduction or reconstruction.
Or if you want massive.
Yeah, actually suitable for somebody like me who has boobs, but they've just lost their volume because they've had babies or weight loss or a bit of everything. So I'd be a good candidate for something like that.
Would you now? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't think I do.
Why not?
Having gained and lost weight over the years, I don't want boobs anymore.
Do you not?
No, they kind of make you look fat in my clothes, is my honest opinion. I used to want boobs, but having had double H's at one point. I never want big boobs ever again.
Really?
Love a little B cup now.
Oh God, see, grass is always greener. Anyway, my take home on all this is it sounds great. And I like the concept of it, and I like the concept of like the scarlessness of it and the ease of it. And it's probably less traumatic too, because you're not damaging tissue and so forth. But I would wait and
that
see.
That was the big selling thing. They were like, it doesn't cut into the breast tissue at any point.
Or the muscle for that matter, you know, like not that like everyone has their own different techniques. I like the idea of it, but I would let it do the rounds for a couple of years before volunteering or putting my breasts up there for guinea pig.
Welcome.
Oh.
Finally. Oh my God.
Finally.
We've wanted to do this for a long time.
I know. It's been a long time in the making. But so I'm delighted because the schedules, we were just talking about that, the schedules always have to align like the stars in the sky.
Yeah. But also it's because it takes you a long time to
A process. Yeah. Like the only way I wake up like this is if I go to bed like this.
I kind of want to know what you look like with it.
Well, that's what everyone always does. See, because I like to keep that little bit of mystery, you know.
Does anybody know?
I
know, obviously your mates do.
Like Google it. It's not that difficult. You know,
we did a big Google time.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh,
well.
Not that easy.
Yeah.
Really? Okay, tell us. How does this happen?
I was coming in here. Do you know, like I'm grand when I'm on the way somewhere. I hate getting ready.
Do you?
I hate it. Pain. It's a pain in the whole, really is. Like, and I worked for Mac for years.
Yeah.
So I've been doing makeup for like Picasso, like for years.
Yeah.
So when I sit down, it's like regimental. It's like I give myself like say 90 minutes and it's like, bam, I'm 90. Like,
90?
Right. Yeah.
90 minutes.
It's a process because you're kind of like, you have to like block out your eyebrows.
Yeah. I'm just looking at your eyebrows. So your actual original eyebrows
are covered. Then you
glued
have to
down.
Glue down. Then I have like a little bit of like sideburn sometimes, so I have to glue all that. So it's like there's a lot. It takes me, say, to do my foundation and brows and all that glue in probably about 35 minutes.
Wow. So that's before you put any. Would you not just consider like lasering them all off and then having the fibroid on?
No, it just doesn't look the same. And just for during the day, like I'm only in this like, you know, a couple of hours a week.
Okay.
The rest of my life, I like to go.
Are you normal the rest? Like, not normal. But, are you just.
Yeah,
you?
Not as glam.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just like don't wear makeup, walk around, have brows. Like, just proper boy. Like,
oh, really? Are you?
Yeah, very, very.
I can't imagine.
You know, it's so funny. Like, I think people have this perception, like, I'm so. Like laid back and so like I just, you know, wear real comfy clothes and like very, very nondescript.
Really?
Yeah. Like very low key.
Baffles me.
Yeah. But I think that's what drag is. I think drag gives you that outlet to be like very OTT.
Yeah.
And when I'm like, I'm so quiet and just kind of like, just like chilling around. I'm like,
that's your alter ego.
Really is, yeah.
You're in the trackies and the runners.
Need to try and get me out of the trackies. Like, it's like, yeah. Because I feel like it put your body through so much pain. It's like, I want to take as much comfort as I can all the time.
Literally what women do all day. Literally. Fucking every day.
That's it. You know, it literally is. It's a process. You know the drill. Like,
so yeah, we do, unfortunately. The makeup side of things.
Yeah.
So obviously, the makeup thing takes 90 minutes to get into the full drag.
Yeah. And that's quick.
And we're talking eyelashes, hair, the full rig out. Yeah. Fancy leg stuff, because I've seen you've got legs.
Yeah, like, well, I lasered my legs last year because I was just like, I was shaving so much. I have really thick hair growth.
Yeah.
So I lasered my face and I lasered my legs.
Okay, you lasered your face?
Yeah.
Your man beard.
My man beard, yeah.
And did it work?
Oh, it did, yeah. Now I'm kind of starting to grow back like sporadically, which is great though, because like, say, even for Pride, like, I was in drag for like, I think it was like 20 hours.
Yeah.
Now, if I hadn't been lasered, I would have been like having a little beard come through, a little moustache.
Yes.
And what happens is...
thought about that.
Yeah, and you know, like the makeup's so heavy. If you're sweating, it's the worst. Your pores are open. Like, it's painful.
Your skin
stings.
So what laser did you get in your face?
Oh, God, I couldn't tell you. Oh, it's, oh no, I got IPL.
Okay.
IPL laser.
No, but IPL doesn't get rid of hair. Yeah. Well, it does actually a certain target.
It was IPL machine. So
okay,
I don't
know where you had it done.
Where did you go?
In BTL.
In BTL.
Yes, Kleena looked after me. Yes.
Okay. Oh,
this new machine.
Yes.
And that, now I have to say it's been amazing. And it's like, I was terrified because I heard it was going to be really sore. It's actually not that bad.
No. Yeah.
And
it's more like a flick, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just, and I love the smell of burning because you know, your sweet smell of success. You know,
you're like, it's working.
Yeah.
Burn.
Yeah, you need to, like bonfires at Halloween, you know. Something good is cooking.
Yeah. I always wondered why more men don't get like laser done. Not like on their full beards, but like, you know the way a lot of men like do the sculptured beard thing, you know what I mean?
And they wear the same crack and sack.
Do you know?
It is, yeah.
The reason I did it though as well, because I actually, this is kind of a bit of a mad reason, but my granddad was in a nursing home recently, passed away since, but I was watching him shave and I remember like, he was 93 and I remember like his skin was really just like, I could hear going, you know, the noise of it. And I just thought, I've never had a beard, never had a moustache, look ridiculous. just said, look, like,
so you're
mad.
Never going to grow.
Look like prepubescent. So I just thought to myself, I'd never want to have that rough skin when I'm older. So I said, just blitz it now, because you can't do when you're grey.
Can you not? So, no. Well, probably. Yeah. But by the time you're grey, there will be a solution.
So, and I'm dark. So it's like, so blitz it. Yeah.
So you're done.
Outside of the makeup side of things.
Yes.
Then. So
have you had the laser?
Yeah.
What else?
What have you done? Done.
In what way?
So lips.
Lips, yeah. Do you know what? I think I was doing lips before anyone was doing lips. I got lips done years and years ago. I think it was, God, about like 2005, maybe, I think it was.
Okay.
Years ago. And I was obsessed with people with big lips. Like, and I remember how I had my lips done for the first time. I thought they were huge. It was like, I think it was like less than half a mil or something.
And now you're like full lips.
Yeah, well, you know, like,
Kerry?
Kerry's done. But over the years, I used to go to Mark Hamilton. And like,
Where's Mark on? Is he just disappeared?
He has his own clinic. He has North Hamilton Face Clinic. In Merrion Square.
Okay.
I still go to him. I get my Botox done there. And I love Mark. Like, I feel like I've known him years.
Yeah.
But I went through a phase where, like, I was obsessed with lips. I really overdid it. Like, I really did. My lips at one point, I nearly fainted. I looked in the mirror because they were like sausages, and I swear to God, I nearly fainted. So, like,
you have lip morphia.
Oh yeah, like now, I got them all dissolved in just after lockdown when we were coming out, because they were starting to migrate, and they were huge, and it was actually kind of aging me a little bit.
Yeah.
So it was all kind of like getting puffy up here.
Yeah.
And it was just from abusing myself from years, because I just loved that look.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm going to dissolve it. Kerry dissolved, and I said, right, I'm going to start it now. I would have my lips done like maybe
Kerry
like
being Kerry Hanafy.
Kerry Hanafy. Yeah, I would have them done maybe once a year now. So it's like,
That's it. And you get a year out of the lip filler, do you?
Like, I think I've probably a lot of scar tissue, but there's not much going on. And the great thing with drag is you can really overdo everything.
So you
know, like normally, like people could just outside the lip. No, I'm like put a big line around
4 inches outside your mouth.
Yeah, and you can get away with it, like, so.
And cheeks.
Cheeks, had my
are
cheeks
yours?
Done. No, I had no. cheeks
are
on.
They like, yours? No, are there cheeks? Someone else's?
Do you know the only thing though is like I'd whack the gym out of it a lot, and I feel like that's like I'd lose a lot of weight, so I'd look very like I have a long face, so it would look kind of
gaunt. Yeah.
So I love just having a little bit of, you know,
plumpness. filler in the lip,
Botox, of course,
chin
had a little bit of chin, you put like a long time ago, like God, maybe a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
So I don't even know. No, nothing in the jaw. That's my jaw.
Is that your own nose?
Yeah, that's my nose.
That's your original nose.
That's my nose.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Very nice.
And what else?
We're just sitting here like scrutinizing
my own teeth.
Yeah. They're your own teeth.
I was thinking they're veneers.
No, they're my teeth. Like proper teeth.
They're lovely teeth.
No, thank you. And because I looked into
that. Was Mark doing your teeth for you as well?
No, they're my teeth since I'm a kid. Like, I probably should have had braces when I was a kid, but.
But they're perfect.
Yeah. And you know, but it's always like, I think people always want to. I think especially for drag, me and even a lot of the queens, we sit down and you're looking in the mirror. You see everything.
Yeah.
So you're like, you're super critical. And then you're like thinking, like, I'm on stage, do people see that? Like, and the reality is they don't. Like, people don't. It's only you. Like, people are very critical of themselves, I think, now. Wow. And I think as I'm getting older, I'm really trying to not be as hard on myself.
Yeah.
You know?
What age are you now?
41 this year.
Okay, wow.
So I'm like, I'm knocking around like 22 years now. I'm doing drag a long time.
Yeah.
So it's been a process.
Has the process of becoming the characters and the drag character become any easier over the last 20 years with the advancement of aesthetics and tweakments and skincare?
In a way, yes, but in another way, no, because I remember when I first started, like, everyone looked like a sack of shit. Everyone looked like a sack of spuds. They really did. And there was fun in that. It was like camaraderie. There was no YouTube. There was no tutorials.
Yeah.
The only place selling lashes was MAC.
Yeah.
And they were one. So they were like one big set of lashes. And every drag queen had the same lashes.
Yeah,
There was no internet. There was nowhere to get your high heels.
Mm.
So everyone kind of was acceptable to look like, you know, bag of spuds. Whereas now there's so much pressure. Everyone
has to look amazing.
And there's like...
Is there?
I think just because there's no excuse now. You know, because you're like, well, you know,
the bar has been raised.
Yeah, I don't know how to do a winged liner. We'll get on YouTube and find out. I don't know how to do a smoky eye. We'll get on YouTube and find out. You know, like, and
the hair, like, I mean, just looking at your hair and admiring it, like, the hair has come along.
Yeah, and like, the hair definitely has. Like, this is human hair, and this is straight from Brazil. But like, I wore synthetic wigs for years, and then I realized as time went by, I started to develop like a Davina Divine signature look.
Yeah.
So I only had about 3 different hairstyles, and I was like, actually, if I invested in some good, like solid human hair that would last me. So I have this wig got about like 5 years, I think.
Oh my god, wow. You know?
And it's like expensive though.
Expensive.
And do you, obviously style it? Or?
I do, yeah, and I've learned myself how to do that. Yeah. I taught myself. So
the waves.
You're there with the waves.
Yeah, I can do a wave. Yeah. I can do a straight. I can do a tight curl. I'm kind of not so great now with the old upstyles.
I'm hard to do an upstyle on a wig.
It is.
To hide bits.
Yeah. Well, you can get it.
You could do it on a head.
Yeah, I have loads of different heads. Yeah. It's literally, you should see my house. Yeah. I have loads of different heads. So I have them all lined up.
Like a serial killer.
Yeah, literally. Is it, you know, like it's always like Return to Oz. Do you remember that movie where the witch keeps her heads in the cases? That's what I feel like I'm like. And I feel like for every time, like, you know, I variate between like, say, maybe like a brunette or like a blonde. Or so I kind of go with my mood.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. That's the fun of drag though.
And tell me this, what other things have you had done? Like, have you gone down any of the surgical route? Have you?
No. Oh, do you know what I did have? And there was nothing actually to do with drag. Mm. I had this done, I think it was 2017. I always hated my ears. Hated my ears, and they always used to stick out like when I was a kid. And my mom asked me when I was a kid, because people used to call me like apple ears when I was a kid, but it didn't really bother me.
Yeah,
I was just kind of like, oh,
they're mean,
they are little brats. So my mom said, do you want to get your ears done years ago? And I said, no, it didn't bother me. But then a couple of years ago, we were at a party and someone made a comment about it, and it was such a throwaway comment, but they said, we were playing this game, this is a really cruel game, but this is the gays. Well,
like, we were at a table,
and say, like, the person beside me said, if you could change one physical thing about the person beside you, what would you change?
What a bitchy game. Although, yeah, we should play that.
It's very full on now. Like, I would never, I wouldn't answer that about someone, because I feel like, but the person just said your ears straight away. And I just thought, you know what,
you weren't in drag, obviously.
No. And I just thought, he's actually right. I was like, actually, like, I actually do hate my ears. No. So I looked into it then. And now, I have to. I never did like them. So yeah, it was just kind of like, actually, I'm going to get them done. But when
where
I looked
did you at, get it done and who?
Well, I looked at going abroad, and there's lots of risks where sometimes they can be asymmetric.
Yeah.
And a lot of, like, just weird things like that. So I found Sean Murphy in Black Rock.
Yeah.
She does this amazing procedure where there's implants put in the ear.
Oh.
There's like 24 karat gold, like little, you know, like a cuff that you'd put on the top of your ear.
Yeah.
You put them inside your ear, and it's like a classic, like, pins your ear back.
Oh.
So you have them for life. You don't have to change them. And they're,
is it magnetic?
No, they're gold. So they're under the skin.
Yeah.
They literally, like, I can show you, like, there's like literally, like, can you see there's like little grooves?
Yeah.
Can you see them?
Oh yeah.
So what does that do?
The ear just, like, from sticking out, just popped it back, so the cartilage just clipped together.
Wow.
And I've had them now since like 2017, and it was, the thing about it is, if I want to, I could reverse it. I could change,
take them out
if I wanted to. And if they were asymmetric, they could be fixed. So
that is mad. You know what? You're not the only one in Zoom, like in America after the Zoom boom. They said the biggest demand in plastic surgery was ears because people were freaking out about their ears on Zoom because they were really and also because everyone was wearing a mask.
Yeah,
that suddenly ears were really,
really prominent.
And
I, you know, like, for years, I was never able to wear a baseball cap when I was a kid because my ears would just stick out. And when I would start doing drag, if I was wearing a hairstyle that was like slicked back, remember with like that Beyonce era when the hair was slicked back and there's a quiff, I super glued my ears back.
Wow.
Yeah, which works, by the way.
Yeah.
It doesn't budge, sweat proof, everything.
How long?
Like, you'd get the night out of it, like, but it was really bad for your skin.
Isn't that really itchy the next day?
Oh yeah, like you can get dermatitis and everything. Like, but the things drag queens don't do. Don't try this home. But yeah, like the things drag queens glue pins to everything.
How much did it cost to get it done? Can you remember?
I think it was like about $5,000.
Okay, but for you, it was worth it.
Well worth it.
Really?
And I would do it again in a heartbeat.
It's funny, isn't it? Isn't it mad? It just shows you the things that people get hung up on, and generally it's something to do with some childhood trauma that no one else in the universe will see.
Notices or
it really upsets
you. Yeah, and that's what I love about drag, is that you can completely change how you look and exaggerate everything, and it's kind of like excusable, whereas I feel like if normal people were to wear this makeup, they'd be like, Jesus,
look of her,
like, what is going on, whereas it's quite acceptable for a drag queen to just look you know.
Yeah,
but I'm looking like here at your hands and stuff. Have you
very feminine hands? Oh,
thank you.
No, like, very, very skin looks
amazing. I have you know, I do think that is genetic. I really do. Like,
I've seen your legs. Yeah. You have good legs.
I've good legs. And I have got good skin. Like,
is your bum or yours?
Yeah, no,
your bum, yours.
Yeah,
normally I pad my bum.
Oh, you pad?
Yeah.
I saw you recently at something and I was like,
no, that's a big padded ass.
That's
most drag queens will pad their hips and their ass.
Really?
Whereas if I'm.
What do you pad it with? Just like an actual padding.
Well, there's loads of different things. Some people like use, you know, like stuff that you'd see inside a couch.
Yeah.
And you put foam into the tights and then like about six pairs of tights over. So it gives you that Kim K look.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't like that hippie look. I prefer it more in the back. So I prefer it more to go out like a BBL kind of vibe.
Because
I'm long and lean, whereas other people are kind of, it depends on your shape.
And would you actually get anything done?
No.
Would you ever think about getting anything done?
No, not like, I wouldn't be that bothered. I like the fact that I can put it on and take it off. That's part of the character. I wouldn't want to be walking around with like a big, huge donkey booty. Like.
Yeah. So what does Dave Redmond do?
Yeah.
On a day-to-day basis?
To be honest, I just do really normal things.
Do you do a lot of skincare?
Yeah, I love a lot. I love skincare.
Like, are you really into making your skin?
Really into it. Like, I have good skin naturally, which is, you know, I'm not kind of
problematic. I'm noticing on your hands.
Thank you. But I have good skin. But I do think that's genetic. But I've worked in makeup and I worked for L'Oreal. I worked for Lancôme. I worked for MAC. So we were constantly getting advice on skincare. And I am, like, I'm beauty obsessed. Like, and now... Mm. I love getting products and trying products and, you know.
What's your go-tos?
God, like so many. Like, it's when people send you things as well, you're kind of like, you end up trying to use loads of different things. But you know what I did love was the Skinceutical. Was so good.
Yeah.
Found that
it's
brand.
Brilliant brand.
I know it's expensive, but I felt like I could really see a difference.
Yeah, you have to be quite religious with
it. But I find that's what every skincare, isn't it?
Are you not a bit like us? Like, because you're getting all the freebies, you end up getting, we're non-compliant.
Yeah.
And just lazy.
Yeah.
No, I'm the opposite. I'm like, well, not that I'm not compliant in anything.
You are completely uncompliant.
I've kind of got so overwhelmed. I've just paired it back to about three things.
What I think you need to. Like, I love microneedling. I love that.
Do you?
Radio frequency microneedling or
normal? No, at home. I'll do it at home.
And do you then put serums and stuff on
top? Yeah, and I love, so like, because I wear a lot of makeup, I'll use a lot of lactic acid.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'll use that, like, and then if I'm using like on my makeup, I'll use like a really good pore primer and I'll push it into the skin.
Yeah.
So I kind of clog my pores, but then I make sure I unclog them, the kind of way.
Okay.
Because that just gives you more like long lasting foundation and stuff.
Yeah, I get you. And do you do peels and stuff like that?
Not really, no.
What about derma blading?
I've had that done.
Yes.
But like, because I wear a lot of tan and stuff as well. Mm. So you do get a lot of, and my skin is like probably normal combination. So I do get a lot of build up.
Okay.
But I kind of feel like I can kind of do that. I'm not a pan now at that.
Are you?
So, yeah. I give it a go.
You could open up your own clinic at this stage.
Probably could. Yeah. Back street, of course. Yeah.
You wouldn't be alone in that, I tell you.
I'd probably half be Dublin as a back clients, street clinic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you feel like you spent your whole life trying to feminize yourself?
Not really. I feel like I've spent my whole life getting ready for something. That's the thing. I like feel like if I'm not getting ready in my regular life, I'm getting ready for a gig or I'm getting ready. I feel like I'm constantly getting ready.
Yeah.
That's
such a part of the gig, right?
Everything. Yeah. And then just getting ready is one thing, but then you have to like rehearse, you have to plan the show, you have to book who's on. So it's constantly just, the whole thing is like, get ready. The easiest bit is to show up at the end.
How did it all come about?
It all came about just kind of by accident, to be honest, for a laugh. Mm. It was 2002. My friend had a charity night in the West. It was in Ballina. They needed an entertainment and they had no budget. Me and my friend did it for the laugh. And
you went in drag.
Yeah, I kind of started taking it a bit seriously. It was a bit of a laugh, but then we were like, no, this needs to be good.
Yeah.
And then some guy offered me a gig and it just started to flow. I've always performed and I love performing. Mm. So that was really what spurred me on. The look came way after.
Yeah.
The performance part was the first part.
I always remember, so there is a CEO called Sue Nabi. Have you ever heard of Sue Nabi? So Sue Nabi
sounds like tsunami.
Yeah, it does sound like tsunami. Actually,
good drag name, wouldn't it?
Sue Nabi. So it's a trans CEO.
Okay.
I don't know. I always get confused. If someone is trans, am I supposed to? No, she's a she.
Okay.
She's a she now.
Okay.
She was the head of L'Oreal. Sorry, the head of Lancôme, and now has taken over as the head of Coty. And she's like
Coty Cosmetics
in America, and she's like revamped all of and she came up with the tagline "You're worth it" for L'Oreal.
Wow, that's
so big gig, right? Okay, so that was a real thing. But she said, as a trans woman,
yeah,
I always get confused with what the right wrong thing to say here is.
Yeah.
She said she knew more about what a woman wanted and what it took to look feminine than any woman on the planet, and that's where she got
that statement.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
I think everybody has like their own journey, and I feel like that's quite a sweeping statement. It's a brave statement, but I don't think you could speak for every woman, do you know, kind of way. I don't think you.
But I think because you're doing it on like such a scale,
But like, so is Soon Abbey, like at the biggest scale of all time.
What I mean, like the getting ready thing, like even
what I do is just much more kind of theatrical and a bit more kind of like high fashion in that way, where it's not street makeup, you know, the kind of way.
Yeah.
So it's a bit more like you're basically painting for people at the back of the room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So you're, like you want to be seen from the International Space Station. So it's not like I'm not trying to be relatable or try to be, you know, it's my look that I've kind of cultivated over the years. So everyone has their, and in a weird way, everyone has their own drag.
Yeah.
Everyone wears their, like everyone has their own foundation that they like to wear. They like to look a certain way leaving the house.
Their persona.
Yeah.
Do you know when people say, oh my God, you look like a drag queen? And like, it's like, I've seen that to you, come out with too much makeup. Do you find that offensive? Or do you go?
So, like, it depends on what drag queen you look like. Now, if it's like a few drag queens I know, I'd be like, whoa, that is an insult.
Yeah.
I don't find it insulting because I think it looks fab.
Do you think the average Irish woman, you're probably going to say no, wears too much makeup?
I think I do. I know from working in makeup, I feel like they feel like they wear too much, but I feel like people could go a little bit more.
Really? So you're the opposite?
Like a little bit. Like I feel like sometimes people don't want to look caked, but I feel like there is a fine line, and makeup is so personal.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, so some people, like I know a regiment, they wear black shadow and this is their look.
Yeah.
And that is the look they've cultivated for them. So
they're a drag.
Makeup is really like, so personal.
Yeah.
Do you think aesthetics is like that as well though?
Oh yeah. And I think it's a lot trend based now, I notice.
Yeah.
I remember like the big lips and all this was like a trend thing.
Mm.
Whereas now you see that it's kind of changing back a little bit. I feel like it's kind of going.
Filler's dead.
Yeah.
Well, not quite. I know we keep saying it, but we say filler is on its way out, but then every clinic in the world is reporting. Yeah, but no, that's like we say that as a statement, but like statistically, it's only just behind Botox in every clinic in the world. Yeah. Like, so
it's the first time in years that there's been a downturn in sales of filler.
Yeah, only probably because there's a peak sales. Like, there's only so many.
Also,
faces.
I think it's probably because lasers are knocking around and people are now.
Probably Joan Rivers passed away.
Joan alone was propping
alone.
Up the GDP.
Joan
Rivers alone was propping up the GDP of filler.
And do you do anything like skin treatments, like Profilo, any of that kind of stuff?
I've had Profilo, before. I don't really know if I see a difference.
Okay.
Like, to be honest, like, and I know I keep coming back to this, but like, I do, like, when I have no makeup on, like, I do look quite young. Like, I look much younger than 40. Like, people always go, oh my God, you're 40. Like, makeup, obviously, I think makes you look older.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't, like, it's supposed to be amazing.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I, like,
okay.
I feel tighter and if everything feels nice. So I'm like,
yeah, happy days. Listen,
yeah. Until it starts feeling wrong and uncomfortable, then I'm going to just take it all.
Well, as with regards to kind of like getting older and being like, you know, a 50 and a 60 year old in drag, like, does the game change? Like,
do you know there's Ireland's first drag queen is Mr. Pussy? Do you ever hear?
Yeah,
so Mr. Pussy is knocking around since.
I remember that club down in
Suffolk Street.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You're old OG.
Yeah.
Well,
Mr. Pussy.
I did a court case with Mr. Pussy a long time ago, and it was so funny because he insisted on being called Mr. Pussy by the judge, and the judge was like, absolutely not. And
he said,
that was my name. And that was
wow.
Anyway, continue with your story.
Yeah, so Mr. Pussy is around a long time and it's still working.
Mm.
And I, like, because people have to say, is there a shelf life and da da da? I think until people stop wanting to see it.
Yeah.
That's the shelf life. And I think in this culture, we are a bit like, look at Madonna. People are like, oh, she's too old. Give it up, granny. Da, da, da.
Yeah.
Who says? Like, do you know what I mean?
Listen, we're all still talking about her.
Why? I feel like it's women get it much more.
Like,
and I feel like I'm that kind of knockoff. Then it maybe goes into drag. It's like, oh, well, like, you know, and don't get me wrong. Yeah. Sometimes I do feel like, oh, God. Today's hard.
Give up the lashes, love. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, when I'm not having fun anymore, when I'm not enjoying it, that's when I'll hang up the heels.
Yeah, I was about to say. Surely you reach a point and you go, oh, listen, I'm tapping out here.
So now, don't we? Some weeks I feel like that. No, I'm only joking. But until it's not fun anymore, I always say, when it's not fun, I'm out. Because it is great fun.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you get paid to like hang out with your friends, have a laugh, create your own shows, do kind of what you want. You're like, it's very creative and really.
The high heels.
And is it bitchy?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what? No, not really, I have to say. Like, it's bitchy in a way that we'd like say it to each other and it's bitchy to each other's face, but it's not nasty bitchy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's not like in America and stuff, it can be very catty and stuff. Yeah. I think the scene, Irish people are just a bit more chill and it's a small scene, so we all have to work together.
Yeah.
So if somebody wasn't getting on, there's, you know, it becomes
trouble.
A real rift then, you know.
And what about international work? Like, when you go internationally, is there like a different level of...
Do you know, it's funny when you go to deal with other queens. Like, I honestly, and I'm not just saying this, I think Ireland has like some really amazing drag queens. I think we had for years. I think Panty and Shirley Temple Bar and Vet, like all those queens have been around for years. They've like, they created a blueprint that people weren't doing. And it's like the creativity and the sense of humour. Irish people in general have that, whereas, you know.
And we're good storytellers.
Maybe
right?
I'm biased, but like, yeah, we are. And I feel like that goes into it. There's something, there's like a bit more heart in our drag or something.
Yeah. So, you know, I always remember Shirley Temple Bar doing the lotto or the new
bingo. Telly Bingo. Yeah.
Telly Bingo. And I mean, it was such a breakthrough moment for RTE.
Oh, like,
do you know, to actually, you know, like an RTE, I'm like the most dinosaur institution.
And they were the ones to say that you could never put a drag queen on TV. The people, and then next thing she's calling like bingo numbers to old people playing at home. Do you mean? So it's like 3 o'clock in the day. So it's
brilliant.
Like, what?
It was a big turnaround.
Big turnaround.
Yeah.
And I think like there's always been drag queens for like since Shakespearean times. Do you know what I mean? Everything goes and swings and roundabouts. It comes into vogue, it goes out of vogue.
Yeah.
But they've always been there.
Yes.
There's been a lot of change though in the Irish kind of culture, even in the last 10 years here in the LGBTQ scene.
Yeah, yeah, it has.
And like you've been a bit of a, you've been quite a, like,
part of the
like,
furniture.
Prolific. And it's like, you're
part of the furniture.
Yeah, you are part of the furniture. Do you think that that's kind of part and parcel of it? Or is it something that's very personal to you?
Well, like, I think it's like community. I think you can't help but feel like part of the community. Like when I came out, you know, things were very different back in the early noughties, and to see things change so much. And now I think we're going into this really weird time where people are really angry. There's a lot of like, you know, and people like kind of far right voices and all this kind of like, I do feel like, what did they say? Division, basically divide and conquer. I feel like that's a big thing going on now, and I feel like we're stronger together and stronger. Just like, just be sound. Like I've just, that's the part I feel. And as Irish people, we are normally sounders. So I feel like now, like I was going to Gay Pride there 2 weeks ago, and I've like been doing Pride for 20 years, and I literally just got out of the taxi. I was like, I had my suitcase, and this woman just came out of nowhere. Like literally, I didn't even see her. Now, like, we'll give her this. She was quick, and she just literally shouted at me, you look disgusting. You're an abomination. Like literally world abuse. And I was like, I've never in all my years had someone shout like, and she was like filled with hate.
Like, where does this come from? Like,
now, and all I kind of could do was kind of laugh, because I just had the state of her now, in fairness, going up the road. Like, she was literally
like,
she's like, you know, she's had a rough day herself. So I was just kind of going, the irony of that. But it was just like the hatred that she had. And I was literally just getting out of the car. I wasn't bothering anyone. I was going to the to Pride Parade. And I was just like, that just goes to show we're so, it could be so easily just tilted back.
Exactly,
And we have to watch that. We have to look
That's the kind of the attitude you might have expected 20 years ago. Yeah. But nowadays, you're like, you know, like, you would imagine people wouldn't blink anymore, but obviously,
and
it's
I
still
think in general, like, across whether it's LGBTQ plus issues or whatever. I think, like, all the stuff going on now with women and that Cathal Crawhey thing and all that, we all need to look after each other and just be sound to each other. Like, I don't think that's a big ask.
No, well, you'd think it isn't a big ask, but like, I mean, it seems to be like this. You're right, it's this divisive culture, you know, that kind of, and like, but like, you're seeing it all over the world, like France, England, America.
It's scary.
It is scary.
And like, I don't know when this became a political talk show.
We are the new talk show. Go back to boob jobs.
Please.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. It's okay. I was actually going to throw my tuppence in and say, it's because we've so many cultures here suddenly in Ireland, and we don't really know what to do with that, because we, as you said, it was always Irish people. We knew how to deal with ourselves on our own terms. And now it's like, it's changed so quickly, so rapidly, and we're not really sure how to integrate with each other
anymore. Well, do you know what? I think a lot of it has got to do with a lot of online faceless people that it's like, and you're constantly reading this. So I feel like the best thing to do if you're ever feeling a little bit like overwhelmed, all that, is to actually just switch off. Just like get into the real world.
Go
and actually like, talk to someone, go outside, like, you know, walk in the grass.
It's just the bullying is prolific, right? Like, we were just really even yesterday, we were walking by this poor kid yesterday, in Dublin too. There's a, I'm sure you've seen it, there's a photo of a young boy up around the corner from here.
And he jumped off the roof. He's like 12.
We asked the
bullying.
Yeah, 13
away, and he killed himself.
So I suppose, like, I mean, like, we talk a lot about beauty and things here, but like, I suppose loving yourself and accepting yourself is the key to it. But like, other people.
And I know beauty seems stupid and like vacant and whatnot on the surface, but sometimes you also need a break from all the horrors of the world. And you know,
it
and like, maybe putting on lipstick and the high heels and glamming up. And I mean, as facetious as it might seem, it is like a break from the horrors.
And you need that though. Yeah. There has to be, everything is light and darkness, right?
Like, you need a bit of fluff.
And a little bit, just live and let live. Like, if you don't like someone's eyeshadow, you don't like someone's lipstick, keep your mouth shut. You don't have to tell them.
Leave
them
what I mean?
Just like, let them wear it. If they like black lipstick, good for you, honey.
Crack on. Okay. Okay. Right. We're going to have to wrap up. Have you one last question for Davina?
The high heels.
The
fuck do you wear the heels? They're like 14 feet high.
You put Botox cream on your heels?
No,
that's a really good trick.
Botox cream?
Yeah, so you know, no.
Lidocaine.
Oh. Now, this is completely illegal.
Oh.
Not legal, it's off-label.
It's not exactly, you know, doctor recommended. Yeah. Because you can actually have a heart attack from too much lidocaine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you shouldn't be, this is not good medical advice. No. But I, you know, when you go for your Botox and they give you the cream to numb your face, if you just steal that, put it in your handbag.
Oh, wow.
You can't be encouraging people to steal things from your
but as well as a way.
Yeah. And you put it on your feet and then you don't feel your feet all night.
Wow. But I have to say, like, I'm pretty good now with the heels, but the heel has to be 5 inches because my body feels like if it's lower, I can feel like slumped.
Why?
So it's like I have to be at a certain height, especially for dancing. You get so used to it.
Oh,
it's bizarre. But now it wouldn't be like the most I could do would probably be 5 hours and then I'd be.
Five hours.
That'd be in bits then.
And you know, you can get your feet injected with Botox as well. You wouldn't be bothered.
No. Like, I'm supposed to be very sore as well.
Do you have any particular type of shoes that are comfortable for dancing in?
I love a boot, a good tie. No, not a Britney boot,
But like what brand?
There's a brand called Pleaser, which is like a really sexy brand.
Yeah.
You do like a lot of like PVC and things, but they're actually amazing, like because they're solid, really sturdy. I think the heels are like proper metal.
Yeah. Oh,
so you can trudge around, jump off things. And,
Because all heels are crap nowadays. They always break.
Yeah. No, you need like a good, but they do amazing like pumps and stuff that are like, they last.
Pleaser. P-L-E-A-S-E-R. Pleaser,
They've like beautiful shoes, like they used
to be online or is there a shop?
Yeah, they used to be a bit kind of like a sexy brand, but now they're definitely a bit more fashion.
Okay.
So they do all sizes, like from like, you know, like a 2 or 3 up to like say 12 or 13.
Okay,
so.
I'm gonna totally Google.
Yeah,
it's funny.
They're amazing and really good prices, but really good quality.
Okay.
And what about underwear? Because it's my other question. The drags do underwear well.
Oh yeah, everything.
Like, Have you done the old thing?
Listen, it's everything. So like, do you know those latex corsets that the Kardashians used to wear?
Yeah.
We've been wearing them for years. Mm-hmm. Year before the Kardashians made it a thing, we used to get them online. I think they used to cost like 80 quid a pop. Now you can get them on for 15, 20 quid.
Yeah.
So they're everywhere.
Latex corsets.
We used to wear 2 of them at a time.
Why? To give you a waist?
To give you a waist. And then you'd put like a bodysuit over that.
Yeah.
And then you'd whatever padding you had. And you see like I...
Could you breathe?
Well, just about. But like, see, they're bendy, so you could dance and stuff still. Now, you don't get me wrong, you'd be a bit...
Yeah.
Your breath is very shallow, but it's nothing like wearing a proper boned corset. You're like, you can't even bend down.
No, you can't do nothing.
No, whereas the rubber ones, you have a bit of...
Yeah, but it's...
Maneuverability.
And what's your, like, if you could only put, like, 2 things in your bag, like, in terms of underwear, what would you put in?
Probably my boobs and my arse.
Boobs and your arse.
Love it.
On that note, let's go back our boobs and our arses into our bags.
And we're going to go to the George.
You definitely have to come now after this. It's amazing. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for everything.
Thank you. Now, time for Loose Lips, my favourite section of the podcast. When we get questions in from you guys, please keep them coming. Lots in this week. And it is great to have the chats and the banter. Ed, give us the first up.
Hi, Nikki and Liz. I absolutely love the podcast. Quick question. A couple of friends of mine have been talking about the CO2 Secret Pro resurfacing recently. It sounds like an awful lot of downtime, expensive enough. And I was just wondering, is it something that you recommend? I would love to know a little bit more. Thanks a mil. Cheers.
In short, yes, I think it's amazing. So CO2 laser is basically a total skin resurfacing laser. So it's often done in conjunction with things like radiofrequency and radiofrequency microneedling, which is the Secret Pro part of the laser. But the CO2 is the resurfacing, which is normally done afterwards.
So just for clarity, Secret Pro then is just the radiofrequency microneedling?
No. So it's just a different modality of the Cutera machine, basically. So there's radiofrequency microneedling, which is...
like level 1 Secret Pro kind of thing.
Yeah. And then as a finisher, or which you could do on a standalone as well, is a CO2 laser, which is a total resurfacing.
Okay.
So
have you had this?
No.
Have you not?
No.
Oh.
I would love to do it, but I don't have the balls to do it.
Have you any skin left to fucking surface?
No.
No, you don't. You must like sleep under a laser.
Do you know who did a really good...
Nikki and Katrina.
Nikki Ralph in the Institute of Dermatologists. You can go onto the IRD
Instagram.
Their Instagram and in their highlights. So Nikki Ralph did a very good, I suppose,
diary.
Yeah, of her CO2 journey. And actually, Katrina, also in the Institute of Dermatologists, she did it just around her eyes. So I would like to do it around my eyes. You can do it in areas. So like if you're creppy and your skin is terrible around your eyes, you can do it there, or you can do it like in bits, like around your jaw, or yes, if you've got the smoker's lines, yeah, and you want to resurface your skin.
So you can patchwork it effectively.
You can patchwork it. I don't really know how that works, because I wonder if you're doing a bit, does the rest look shit? I don't know. Anyway, short story is, it's a full resurfacing of your skin.
And you're basically in lockdown for a week.
Oh, at least a week. Yeah. Oh, like you're not going, you look like a Halloween burn victim for 10 days.
Yeah.
And you won't be able to, I'm not able to go out or do anything for.
I mean, you can work from home, obviously. You could work depending on your job.
You
can work,
but you're not going. You don't want to be seen in public for at least 4 or 5 days.
Well, realistically, I mean, also depends on your attitude. Some people just couldn't give a hoot, and they'd be like, "I don't care."
Yeah,
off we go.
I mean, maybe if you're.
And in this day and age, if anyone was like, if someone looked raw and red, you'd be like, "Just had CO2." They'd be like, "Oh yeah, whatevs."
I know. Yeah, but I mean, just for the average person, like, do you need downtime? Yes, you do. You can go out and you can obviously do whatever the hell you want. But I mean, if you're that person, fucking fair play to you. But your downtime is about 10 days to 2 weeks, and it takes a good month or two before you're actually properly healed. But the results are phenomenal.
If you need it. Do you not think a lot of people are doing it and they don't need it?
So only medics are allowed to do it. So
they're only allowed to do the CO2 part.
Yeah, because it's a proper, like, they're burning the face off you.
Yeah.
And you
that's the medical term for it, is it? Burning the face off.
Yeah. Yeah, officially. You heard it here.
I mean, we really need to go back to medical school.
Back to medical school? When did you go to medical school in the first place?
I'm joking. We're full of the jargon. Anyways, so you love it. It's very expensive. But I think a lot of people are getting it done unnecessarily because it's on trend. You know, if you are like,
if you've deep lines, or if you've really
sun damage,
or sun damaged skin.
Yeah.
If you've got those desperate smoker's lines that are very hard to get rid of, if the overall texture and quality of your skin is bad and can't be treated really with, if you've done all the Botox and the fillers and the kind of basic level lasers, yeah, I mean, this is the next level.
I don't know. I'm like, would you be bothered going through that like rigmarole if you didn't really need it? Like, could you not just do something more simple?
20 years. So yes, if you're coming into the table at 50, you've done nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, Botox is not going to cut it. You need to go full tilt CO2 laser resurfacing.
All right. Okay. So Nikki says yes. I say only in it if you really desperately need it and you have loads of money in your back pocket, by the way, and you can hide away at home for 2 weeks. Next question.
Hi girls, what is the best body moisturiser for a 51-year-old who has some faded stretch marks on her legs? I know they can't be got rid of, but I would really like to know how I could improve them to fade. Thank you.
Tell you this for free, no moisturizer is going to help. The end. Yeah.
There you go.
Sorry.
Any moisturizer or cream or lotion or potion that claims to make stretch marks or scars go away is horseshit.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
they can improve the appearance.
Appearance.
I always think if somebody says it improves the appearance of anything, I mean, it's just, it can basically hydrate it. So unless you've got a really good active ingredient in it, there is two.
Like if you have a scar with pigmentation, okay. But she's saying she has stretch marks. So generally, stretch marks are not pigmentation led scars, because like acne scars have pigmentation around them, and you can use something to help with take down the pigmentation. Actually, Neostrata is a brilliant product for taking down acne pigmentation. They have a really good new product out to help. And they were the original acid skincare brand. It's in every pharmacy going. They're very good for scars. And again, they have like, you know, there's I've forgotten the name, but patchouli oil or something. It's like a natural retinol. And retinol is probably better than anything for helping with those kind of conditions. Yeah. But in general, stretch marks.
Profilo Body is very good. I mean, especially if you've got that puckering that goes with the stretch marks, sometimes it can improve the quality of the skin underneath the stretch marks. And then actually what's good on stretch marks, if they're purple, you know, if they're white,
silver,
or bleached out, then the lasers won't do a whole lot. But I mean, if they're purple, you can use, there's loads of different lasers that'll pick up on the pigment of it and it'll get rid of the pigment, which will dramatically improve the appearance of. But it's very little things like radio frequency microneedling improves them, in inverted commas.
Yeah.
I don't, apparently, like some of the CO2 lasers, that resurfacing thing can do some. Oh, I've never.
Do you know what I just do with my stretch marks? I put Vita Liberata.
I was going to say, stick a pair of shorts on them.
Yeah. No, Vita Liberata body blur. It is game changer. It is like
makeup for the skin.
It's makeup for the skin. My God, does it transform your skin, especially your legs, your arms, whatever. It is freaking brilliant. It's about 20 quid.
Mm.
You can go, there's a light one, there's a medium, dark, the whole color spectrum basically of skins. It's fairly robust in the rain. It's fairly robust against clothes. It will destroy your sheets, but like I'm sure everyone's got the destroyed set of sheets at home in this country.
So the short story is, if you've got stretch marks, Phyla Body is good for the overall skin texture and tone. Some lasers will work if there is color in them. If there is no color in them, they're white. The lasers won't really do anything. If you want to go kind of next level, radio frequency microneedling will improve the texture and tone of the skin and tighten the skin a little bit. But other than that, you're into things that cover them up. And there's no lotion or potion that's really going to do.
Except for my Vita Liberata. But that's a cover up.
And Neostrata.
Yeah. Neostrata is for helping with the pigment and for helping with the kind of surface scars. Yeah.
So I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Fess Up. And we hope you join us next week. A special shout out and thanks to Fifth Avenue Clinic, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty treatments for 17 remarkable years. For more, see fifthavenue.ie.
And please keep in touch with us. As always, our WhatsApp number is on our bio in our Instagram. You can voice memo us, you can DM us, you can do whatever you want to do to get in contact with us. But please keep the combos coming. We love them. See you next week.
Fess Up with Liz and Nikki, a Go Loud original podcast.
Sponsored by Fifth Avenue Clinic, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. See fifthavenue.ie for more.
Go Loud.
Sounds better with us.